Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Obviously. But you're wrong. Those things don't happen because of science. They happen because we're 100 days from college football. The countdown is on. Will the SEC get two teams into the playoffs again? What does Jim Harbaugh do for an encore? And will Nebraska go without any thus meeting the all-important mystery metrics, at least according to our sources? It's time. It's here. It's 100 days until college football.
Once again, Josh Peterson doing everything possible to shorten my summer and make my life a living hell.
But how about that olive branch that I offered you? Song from the 80s.
It didn't sound like an olive branch to me.
Yeah.
It didn't sound...
Song. It's from the 80s.
Not good.
I thought you'd love that.
I would. You know what else? Hey, Nick, the tent's coming up again.
Oh,
over
no.
Here. This is amazing. This wind is incredible, especially on this tent. Uh-huh. It is 100 days. It's exactly 100 days to college football. I look forward to how you plan to address numbers 99 through 1.
Well, we'll figure it out as we go, John. We'll figure it out as we go.
Well, apparently, you know, just like any great celebration, just like any great countdown, you got to start with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and did we start with a bang? Technically, we started when there were still 101 days until college football. So this was last night. This was last night, mind you. Not at a football function. This was actually at a function to promote the World Games, which is basically an amateur sports Olympic-style sporting event that's coming to Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't an Alabama booster function. This isn't an Alabama football function. This isn't Nick Saban's charity function. This is about an entirely different realm of sports. And you get to the end of the address, and Nick Saban starts riffing on the state of college football. Now, we don't have the entire riff, but this was the one that really got people's attention. So, Dan, hit it. Nick Saban.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So he's basically repeating the same exact things that had been accused earlier after signing day by people like Lane Kiffin and many others, including Sliced Bread, who was a very popular message board poster where it seems like a lot of this stuff has come from. And Nick Saban's basically repeating the same thing. Hey, A&M bought all these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They bought all of these dudes. And this is something that we've got to figure out. This is something we've got to fix. Well, it has created quite the firestorm. Little did we know later that Jimbo Fisher was going to have a press conference, and boy, did he have a press conference. And we'll get to all of that in just a little bit. But let's go back, Josh, to what started it all. Nick Saban last night, and why he decided to essentially fire the first salvo. I mean, honestly, this is like the first shot fired at Fort Sumter. This feels like civil war.
Yeah, it does, man. And it's funny, too, because I read this morning. There's, of course, been a lot of reaction. And it's funny, depending on when you read the reaction, you either got the, only focused on Nick Saban stuff, or you got it certainly a bit more holistically. But Aaron Suttles writes for The Athletic, covers Alabama. He said, I just want to read a little bit from this story this morning. He says, multiple sources told The Athletic that more than one in-state recruit is seeking an NIL deal to commit. Alabama has said from the inception of its collective, High Tide Traditions, that the collective will not serve as a medium for recruiting inducements. Recently, the NCAA said it intends to crack down, yada, yada, yada. A couple more things. If he isn't permitted to recruit the same way he alleges others are, that puts him and his program at a distinct disadvantage. So basically what Alabama and what Nick Saban is trying to argue is, other people are breaking the rules. We haven't been breaking the rules. And that's, I guess, where things are going to be moving forward. Because I'll be honest, man, when I first heard the quote last night, the only thing that I thought was, okay, Nick Saban is basically telling his boosters, hey, I'm going to need you to help out. This is what we're going to be doing now moving forward. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought last night was about. But and look, maybe I don't think Suttles is a huge Bama homer. Maybe what he is saying is that there is some actual frustration here that Alabama is truly trying to follow the rules. It's just like, come on, man, it's Alabama. Like, are we to really believe that?
Well, I think what you're seeing is it's a change in how everything is happening. Remember back to when all the talk around college football. Remember these innocent days where, you know, where we actually talked about the way the game was played. And there was a conversation about offense and how offenses are getting out of control. The game's going too fast. The defense is at a huge disadvantage. And Saban went on this big old rant. Well, then what did Saban do? He knew he wasn't going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically just kept up with the Joneses. And he set a new bar, and he basically started playing offense the same way. I think what you're going to end up seeing here is, I think what this was, in part, was Nick Saban acknowledging again that, hey, the rest of these dudes with a lot of money, Texas money, they're going to start passing us if we don't do something here right quick.
Yeah.
And so I still think there is a part of that here. But I also wonder, the man is 70 years old. We've already seen some pretty prominent coaches decide to retire.
Yeah, Jay Wright, most recently.
I'm almost wondering if this is the first, call it chink in the armor, of Nick Saban getting ready to pack it in and say, and basically this is his farewell address. Hey, this is a problem here, and we got to do something about this. And he no longer cares about whose feelings he hurts,
yeah,
and why this has all come to pass. Because you never, ever used to hear coaches directly call out other programs unless it was behind the scenes in the cover of darkness, behind some, you know, anonymous quote in The Athletic or any other website or any other publication. But this was a direct shot across the bow saying, hey, A&M paid these guys, and that's why they had the number one class. By the way, the clip you didn't hear was when he also then talked about the fact that Travis Hunter, one of the top-rated players in all of college football, went to Jackson State and said, yeah, it was in the paper. Jackson State paid this dude $1 million, or he got paid $1 million to go to Jackson State, to which Deion Sanders went crazy.
Coach Prime,
whatever.
Coach,
whatever.
Don't call me Deion Sanders Prime.
Whatever you want to call him. Coach Prime, he went off on that last night and said, you best believe I will address the lie Coach Saban told. I was awakened by my son and sent me the article saying we paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play at Jackson State. We as a people, I'm emphasizing his words, don't have to pay our people to play with our people. He, of course, is alluding to the fact that Travis Hunter picked Jackson State because he wanted to play for an historical black college.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he took that shot as well. But listen, if this were Nick, I truly believe this, if this were Nick Saban who, you know, still saw he had another 5 or 10 years left in coaching, I don't think he says this. But the fact that he's decided to just basically call people out and say, here's what's going on, I think this is Nick Saban's first hint that he's not going to be long for this world, but he's trying to warn everybody in Alabama, hey, Texas oil money, they got a lot of it, and they got a history of doing things not by the book. And
but
again,
so does Alabama. That's the funny thing, right?
I know that.
Remember Albert Means, and you said something a few minutes ago that I do think we need to acknowledge. Coaches have accused other coaches of doing things shady, but it's usually behind the scenes, and it has not really been on the record. And I bring up Albert Means to say, because that was a huge story back in the late 90s, early 2000s, to the point where Phil Fulmer didn't even go to the SEC media days because he was worried for his safety, because I believe at that point in time, the media days were taking place in Mobile, Alabama. That's neither here nor there, but this type of stuff has not ever been on Front Street to the degree in which it has been the last, like you said, 18 hours. And so after everything that you just laid out, man, I do think that there are one of two avenues that this is. This is either the first response that I had, and that is, okay, he's laying the groundwork and he's saying, basically, is this what you want college football to be? He's saying that for a new era, and he is essentially daring the sport to continue to play this way, because if it does, then he's going to win like he always will. Or maybe you're right, that this is like one of the first breadcrumbs of, I don't like this. This isn't the sport that I wanted to coach, you know, and I'm going to move on. And I'm not, you know, whether it's not wanting to adapt, not liking that he has to adapt, getting up there in age, it does seem like it's one of those two, because why else would you do it?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. Yeah. And I think frustration, too. I mean, at this point, he was riffing. This was towards the end of this whole deal. At this point, he was just riffing. And it's also very possible that he probably went further than he had initially intended to.
Yes.
I don't think he went to this event intending to create this kind of a firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. And sometimes, again, when you allow yourself to go there because you realize that you're at a level of either comfort or a level of acceptance that your life situation is changed or is changing, that he just was like, oh, okay, once I go down this path, I'm just going to keep right on going.
Yeah.
Now, that's the reason as to why it happened. Now, what happens in the aftermath, and how does this affect everything moving forward? This isn't just a coach calling out another program or programs or coaches or players. This is the coach.
This is the biggest voice
in college sports, and one of the biggest voices in all of American sports who is doing this. And so I think there's another avenue, and you pointed it out. Is this where we want everything to go?
Because that's what he did when the spread offenses really became in vogue. I believe the quote from him is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 2012 or 2013, where he goes, is this really what we want college football to be? And at the time, we viewed that as, oh, wow, he doesn't like where it's going because he doesn't think he can keep up. No, in hindsight, it was obviously a dare. Is this what you want football to be? Okay, fine, then I will also run the spread offense, but I will do so with my five stars, and then we'll own the sport in a way that, you know, no one else has owned the sport. And that's what happened. And look, it's hard not to think about that. There was a tweet from Dan Murphy over the last 24 hours. He also covers college football. He says, I don't think he's complaining. His audience was a room full of local business owners. He was sending out a wake-up call. One of Saban's top skills as a coach is adaptation. Remember in 2012, if he has fast-paced, high-scoring offense was what we want football to be. It's still hard for me not to think that that's not what this is. Why would he want to retire, man? He just had the second best recruiting class again. They're gonna win the national championship, in my opinion, this year. They just played for the national championship. They won it in 2020. Like, he's at the top of his game. Why would he want to get out now? Because he'll adapt. He always does to the changes of college football.
But he's also 70 years old, and how much more is there left to accomplish?
There's nothing left to prove. If
Jay Wright can walk away, and he's a younger man.
Yeah, then anybody can.
Then anybody can. And if there ever was a time to do it, this might be the time to do it, because maybe you don't have the energy to deal with this. Because one of the issues that's at play here, and while it's always been this way, now it's more out there in the open, and now it's become more accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loss of control. While Nick Saban still runs the Alabama football program, and Jimbo Fisher still runs the Texas A&M football program, now, the boosters, which have always been at the core of this sport, always, now, not only do they have
more power behind the scenes, they have more power in front of the camera. Because now everybody knows what's going on. Collectives essentially are doing the work of what boosters used to do behind the scenes through bagmen. That's what collectives are now doing. And you have, and I read Ross Dellinger did a great story on SI.com a couple weeks ago, kind of a behind-the-scenes look at how all of this works. There was a quote in there where it essentially said that boosters are going out and kind of working rogue and saying, well, hey, this dude's a good quarterback.
They're almost deciding who they want on the roster.
Exactly. Yeah. They're almost playing the role of general manager and saying, hey, how you want to come over here? Here's the money. And then the coach finds out later, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So you're offering players to come play for me when I haven't even – and so coaches are also losing control. And that's one thing that no coach wants to lose, especially someone like Nick Saban, who has been entrenched in this sport for decades, because he is the ultimate control person.
Yes, he is.
He wants the final say on everything. Well, if now these collectives, some of these collectives and boosters, are starting to go out and basically play general manager and basically go out and say, hey, we know you're a great player. We want you to come play for our school. How much is it going to get to play here? And the coach doesn't even have a say.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing I think Nick Saban is also trying to guard against here. So there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of different things to this story. Now,
one more thing. The funny thing is, you know, this is now I don't know how many times someone has gone after Texas A&M. A lot of people have gone after their recruiting class. And, of course, you mentioned earlier in the segment, sliced bread and everything, BroBible.com, all that mumbo jumbo. But that's now happened a few times. And I do find it interesting because from all reports, you know, today and in weeks prior, the problem that people have with Texas A&M is almost that they got all this stuff figured out first. They had the collective from, again, all reports. They're doing everything by the letter of the law. They're just doing it better than everybody. That is a fan base that is starving for a national championship. They have not had one since before World War II. It's been a long time, but as everyone...
If you think Nebraska's starving, A&M has gone beyond starving.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that they're often in college sports, man, when a team that doesn't recruit at that level recruits at that level, it always gets people, you know, a little skittish. Oh, wait, what are they? Ole Miss.
Ooh,
what is Ole Miss
doing?
What is Texas A&M doing? If Nebraska had the number one class tomorrow, it'd be the same thing. What is Nebraska doing? They're obviously cheating. So I do think that there is a part of it that like a frustration in that that's happening right now as well.
All right, when we come back, we are going to hear from
Jimbo
Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did Jimbo Fisher have something to say.
Yeah.
If Nick Saban fired the first shot at Fort Sumter, the retaliation fire by the Union, if Jimbo in this analogy is the Union
who's
Army.
The Union? Who's the Confederacy?
Well, I think they're both, whatever it is in this Civil War, the retaliation came back hot and it came back heavy. We will have all of that audio coming up next here. But again, we are here for Share Omaha and Do Good Days. Also, First Tee Omaha. The events will be starting here shortly. They're going to have kids out here. If you want to bring your kids out to help learn the game of golf from the First Tee Omaha group, they have done a great job over many years of teaching kids not only the game of golf, but doing it through life lessons, and they're having a lot of fun. Well, Share Omaha, too, can benefit. Every $10 donation you make to Share Omaha, and you can go to the ShareOmaha.org website, you can get a chance to win over $5,000 worth of golf merchandise. There's merchandise, there's gift cards, all kinds of great stuff. You can go out and buy your own. But for every $10 donation to Share Omaha, you can win in a drawing that will be held next week. So come on out to Tiburon. We're just off 168th Street and Clubhouse Lane here in just out near Gretna. Have fun. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a little breezy, but the wind's blowing out. So you're gonna watch the kids hit a lot of long drives today here at Tiburon. And we'll be back with more of Unsportsmanlike Conduct in a moment on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.